How long should it take me to fall asleep, ideally?
Most people fall asleep in 15 minutes or less.
And what should be going through my mind when my head hits the pillow?
That you love the way that pillow feels. That you love the way that bed feels. That you've never felt more comfortable in your life. And the next thing is nothing. You just lie there, enjoying how wonderful it feels just to be in this bed.
That sounds like science fiction.
No, that's, but you asked me what you should feel. That's it. If every night, night after night after night, you don't sleep well, then what happens is the bedroom itself, the sleeping environment, the whole idea of sleep.
For me, becomes a battlefield.
That's Alan Berliner from his HBO documentary, Wide Awake. He is a chronic insomniac who goes days without sleeping. And when he does sleep, it's only for a few fitful hours. Alan Berliner told Steve Paulson he's had trouble sleeping for as long as he can remember.
It's been a problem that's followed me since early childhood. I can remember lying in bed as a 7, 8, 9-year-old little boy, watching the shadows and the lights of cars going through the Venetian blinds and making rather beautiful, I might add, designs and patterns on my ceiling, on the ceiling of my bedroom. So the idea of being awake at night when everyone else was sleeping, and especially at that time when I had school the next day and I knew I was going to pay for it, is something that's been around for a long time. And I've learned to cope with it. I've learned to reckon with it. I've learned to accept it. But of course, I have struggled with it ever since.
Yeah. Now, I understand what you're saying because I've had insomnia at various points in my life. And I guess what I have found most maddening is that there can be times when I am really exhausted. I get into bed and then suddenly it's like my mind lights up.
Yeah.
And all of my problems and troubles and worries start racing through my head and they seem to be much worse than they were during the day. Does that happen to you?
That's the classic pattern. You know, there's no causality. I used to think, okay, I barely slept on Monday, so Tuesday I'm obviously going to get a good night's sleep. And then there I am in bed on Tuesday, you know, wired. And then, okay, now it's Wednesday night. And of course, I haven't slept Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm just going to crash, of course. Nope.
So it sounds like you must be tired all the time.
Well, I am tired a lot. But still, you know, I've been diagnosed with something called delayed sleep phase syndrome. And it's just an acknowledgement that my biological clock is set differently than most people. And, you know, I don't get tired until very, very late in the morning. It also means that in the various sort of qualitative ways of measuring performance and alertness and general aptitudes, I am sharper, more alert, able to do things. I'm just better at night. So the morning is tough for me. Even this very interview that we're doing, I mean, if we did this, say, 12 hours from now in the middle of the evening, it'd be a totally different interview. You know, I'd be in a different place. The morning for me, generally speaking, is when I do very light lifting. It's a time for just filling out forms and putting stamps on envelopes.
So have you tried various things, maybe tricks or certain sleep techniques to try to solve this problem?
Over the years, I've tried virtually everything. I've been hypnotized. I've tried valerian root, very hot baths, warm milk. You know, I tried drinking myself to sleep. There's a time in my life when I thought I've had a lot of sex before I went to sleep. That would help. It did a little, actually.
What about sleeping pills? How helpful are they?
Well, you know, the new sleeping pills, and it's a booming industry now, are not, so to speak, our grandparents' sleeping pills. They're not barbiturates, you know, and they're not antihistamines. They are very specifically targeted to go towards areas in the brain that are, you know, thought centers. They're actually quelling the brain. They're putting the brain to sleep, actually. They're not making us tired. They're actually taking that center of rumination and taking that center of focus that won't let go, you know, the part of consciousness that won't let go. And they're targeting that center of the brain. And sleeping pills have changed my life, just even knowing that they're there. I would never travel, for instance, anymore without a sleeping pill. Mm-hmm. It's my safety net when I go anywhere around the world. And it has actually been a godsend, a blessing for me. But, you know, I take the sleeping pill judiciously.
All right, because you're not supposed to take it all the time. I mean,
that's correct.
You read the label on the bottle and,
That's right.
You're supposed to take it for just a few days or so.
That's right. That's right.
Now, in your film, you talked to a bunch of doctors about your insomnia. What did they tell you?
Well, they told me a lot of things. I learned a lot from the doctors. Just for the record, the number one rule of sleep hygiene is to wake up at the same time every day, regardless of how much sleep you've had. That's the number one rule. 1A is to go to sleep at the same time. And so what they're really telling you is if you want to be a good sleeper, you should have, to some extent, a regular routine. And if you wake up, for instance, at different times every day, you are throwing yourself in a kind of artificial jet lag because you're, by not regulating the boundaries of your sleep, you're bouncing around and your biological clock can't find a balance, you know. Anyway, that's one thing about time of waking up and time of falling asleep. The other thing that I don't do, and I think many, many people don't do this as well, is that you're supposed to create a kind of time for decompression. My whole life I've worked and read and thought and just been doing things.
So decompression is not exactly in your life schedule.
No. I work right up until the moment that I go to sleep. And in fact, what's worse is that there's always a pad on my bed with several pens nearby. And I bring, not only when I shut the light from whatever I've been reading or working on, what have you, I'm brushing my teeth and I'm still thinking about it. And I'm flossing my teeth and I'm still thinking about it. And I wash my face, I'm still thinking about it. And then I get into bed and, well, now I'm thinking about it, but I'm just lying down. You know, and there's that pad. And the truth is, and oh, that's good. I'll write that down. And the fantastic thing is I wake up the next morning and I have 5 or 6 sheets rolled over, you know, on the pad. And I have barely a memory of what I wrote. But there they are, all this, you know, even if I bat, you know, 500, you know, half of them are things that are worthy of remembering or enacting the next day in terms of what I was working on. And that is not a good thing to do if you want to be a good sleeper.
Right. But on the other hand, I mean, what you're really saying is this is creatively a very fertile time for you. And I mean, you're a creative artist, you're a filmmaker. And so, you know, it raises some rather large questions about, you know, what if you were a better sleeper? Would your creativity start to dry up?
That, my friend, is the big quandary of my life that I explore through my film Wide Awake. It's a big question. My sleep or lack of it, the way I've coped with it, the way that I gravitate towards the night, the way that the night is my haven for my creative passion and for my sense of myself, that I feel if there's anything I need to do that's really important, you know, I wait till the midnight shift comes on. That's just the way it is. And, you know, that's, at this stage of the game, that's really hard to give up. At this stage of the game, it's who I am. You know, there's a little riff in my film where one of the doctors, Dr. Richard Simon, based out of Walla Walla, Washington, who is a musician himself, starts talking about Charlie Parker. And he says that Charlie Parker was a great musician. Of course, we're acknowledging he was also a heroin addict, but he was also a notorious insomniac. And he said to me, making a general statement, but he said in the case of Charlie Parker, whose work he admires very much, he said, you know, if he had been a better sleeper, he would have been 10 times the musician he was. And on some level, you know, maybe there's truth to that. But at the same time, Charlie Parker, who sleeps well, is living a different life, a different lifestyle, has a different identity, is overcoming a different equation in his life, and might not be the same musician. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it's woven into the fabric of one's consciousness and identity, perhaps even DNA, what have you, it's a difficult question.
There's almost a philosophical question here, which is, I mean, essentially you're saying that your identity is built on this abnormal behavior. I mean, you're up in the middle of the night when, you know, 90% of everyone else, probably more, is asleep. But that's who you are, and it almost sounds like you need to embrace that to be able to do what you want to do.
There are times when I'm up in the middle of the night and I look out the window and I see all the, you know, all the buildings are dark and all the, you know, there are no lights on in any of the buildings, and I know that I'm the only person up in the building in which I live, and I know that, you know, everyone I know, virtually everyone I know, is sleeping. There's a sense, I think, that many artists have that who work at night, that we're kind of like the sentries. You know, someone has to look out over the bow on the ship while we're passing through the night. And we're sort of protecting things. There's sort of a protective quality of it. There's a sense of being a watchful eye, but there's also a sense of taking in the energy and the power of the night that someone has to do that feeds us and that's really important. And we mediate this energy and we synthesize it and, you know, we bring it back into the world of daylight, you know, the next day. We might be groggy when we do so, but there's a role to that. There's a place for that. And that it's, you know, despite the sacrifices, it's okay. You know, it's okay.
Alan Berliner is the director of the HBO documentary called Wide Awake. Steve Paulson spoke with him.